Living soberly is the title of our message for today, taken from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, with particular emphasis on verse 7, which is your memory verse. The verse says here, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." What was the Apostle Paul speaking about when he alerted the church concerning the end that is to come? As we were in our church camp, we saw how several decades, perhaps, after Peter would write this epistle, the Roman army would come and destroy Jerusalem. Israel will be deported, scattered for the next 2,000 years. Peter was speaking to the church that was scattered all over Asia Minor. They were scattered because they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe that Caesar is not God. They believe that Jesus Christ is the living and true God. They would bow not to Caesar, but they would bow only to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter has taught them that they must remember to pay their taxes. They must remember to do what is right in the sight of God, to render unto Caesar that which belongs to Caesar, and unto God that which belongs to God. The people that were living at that time needed, in the midst of persecution and difficulty in walking that Christian life, an anchor of hope for their lives. And Peter tells them concerning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the blessed hope of the church through the ages. Peter reminds them that there will come, and there is coming, a time of consummation when all our labors shall be over. There will come a time when we will rest from all our labors on earth, when we will be safe, as the hymn says, on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord that we adore. We thank the Lord that He has given us His Word so that we may understand an eternal perspective to this present life. That life does not go on forever. Whether it is the consummation when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, or the destruction that would come to the city of Jerusalem, or through death that would come upon any one of us, at any time when the Lord would summon us, when we go to the cemetery, we would see the many tombstones, and we see two dates: the beginning date and the end date. And we are all living in that in between. What will be the time of the end for us? Peter was asking us to think and consider, while there is life within us, while God gives us life, He tells us that there is a consummation that is coming. And He tells us that it is near at hand. He says, "But the end of all things is at hand." What was He talking about? Well, before that, He was speaking concerning the Christian life, how it is so tough to live the Christian life. You want to walk with God, it is as if you are going against the grind of society, the norm of society. You want to live a holy life, you realize that you will lose many of your worldly friends, the kind of activities that they would do, the kind of pleasure, leisure that they would indulge in. You find yourself unable to follow and walk in that way. And so it is a, as it were, a hard life. You are separated, you are persecuted, you are in a way isolated. So where is the hope for the Christian? What is our hope? Well, Peter is saying to us that there is a consummation to the end of all things, which Peter expressed it very well at the end of the second epistle. He tells us concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day with the Lord is as a thousand years, as a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He tells us that the reason why the end hasn't come, God's judgment hasn't come, is because God is giving us time. God is giving us time. God is giving you time. What are you doing with the time that God is allotting to you? Because Peter will say in 2 Peter 3 verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works thereof shall therein be burned." He tells us that there is a consummation, there's a judgment that will come, but God will create for himself a new heaven and a new earth. He says, "Nevertheless," in verse 13, "we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." He tells us that this earth that we live in, the people that we are going to meet, oftentimes are going to disappoint us through and through. We are going to face so much discouragement. But he's saying to us here that there is a purpose to what God is doing at this time. And he revealed to us in verse 6, For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit." The reason why the end has not come is because God is allowing time for men to repent. The gospel has to be preached. The last Gentile has to be ushered in. Then the end will come. For men would be judged. And those whom God will, by the Spirit, make alive, will have the power to escape the judgment to come. And so he's telling us that the end is nigh, it's near, it's at hand. The word at hand means very near. It's coming. And the way it is spoken is this, that when it comes, there will be a change that will take place, and there is a great alteration that will take place. You remember when God, through Noah, spoke to the world before the global flood. Noah preached for more than 100 years, and he said to the people to repent. He was asked by God to build an ark, and it took him more than 100 years to build the big boat in the middle of a dry land. You see, at that time, the world was enveloped with a canopy of water, and the mist from the ground will water the garden at that time. There was no rain. And the end for Noah, when he was sharing the word to the people, was that God will cause the heavens, the envelope of water, to be broken, and the water would pour and flood the entire earth. And unless you would escape into the ark, you would perish. And so as he was preaching, he was building, the people were scoffing, the people were laughing. What is he doing? Why does he waste his time? Why does he bother? Aren't there not better things to do? Well, the Lord has shown to Noah that the heart of man has been evil and depraved, and that he's going to judge the depravity of human flesh. And he's giving time. And Noah understood the will of God. And Noah prepared his heart, prepared his family, so that when the ultimate judgment will come, when the time comes, they would be safely ushered into the ark. For us, what is that so-called end time? Well, may I say to you that it is the blessed hope of the church, the rapture of the church, that the Lord Jesus Christ will come and receive his church to glory, and then the world will go through a period of great tribulation, great shaking. And if you are not caught up, you would be caught in a sense, trapped in the judgment to come. And so God is preparing to return, to receive his church, and the Father will give the signal to the Son, and the Son will return and receive the church to glory. And he tells us that we better be prepared. And so he says, "Be ye therefore sober." The word sober there means to be of a sound mind, to know what is going on. We have been taking time to study Israel in prophecy during our church camp. Why do we bother to do that? Because we want that, or the Word of God is shouting at us, saying to us that the end of all things is at hand. And if we are still blinded to the situation of the day, and we are still pursuing our earthly dream, then we are going to be very, very disappointed. We are going to be very, very disillusioned. And so the Lord is saying to us that a time of reckoning is coming. But for the Christian, it is a time of reward, the end of our labors. And so he says to us that we are therefore to be sober, to know in your heart the prophetic clock of God that was ticking. Noah was prepared. He built the ark, and he knew, as he put in each and every plank, he knew that the time will come when he would put in the last plank. And the Lord says to us that while he gives us time, may he give us the grace to search the scriptures and know the urgency of the state of the church, of the state of God's prophetic clock concerning this world. There's not much time any longer. And therefore the Lord is saying to us, be sober, be awakened, be alert. Israel is in the land. Israel is important because the Bible tells us that after the rapture of the church, Christ will rule from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Israel is in the land. And remember, we were watching our video and how they were brokering for peace over the last many decades. And as we look at the world around us, we realize that the prophetic clock is ticking when Christ would finally return and rule from Jerusalem. This will be the divine kingdom of God, the consummation. And earthly kingdoms would be so transitory. And here we are being told that, you know, we are not living during the time of the Babylonian period, not the Persian period, not the Grecian period, not the Roman period, but we are living in the end of those period, the revived Roman Empire. And so if you look at the prophetic clock in what we saw in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7, we realize that we are really at the end, right? We are not at the beginning. And so the Lord wants us to be awakened, to know, so that our mind would be very soundly attuned to the timeline of God for this world. And so he calls us to set a mental state of alertness, a mental state of understanding, so that we will not waste time to build an earthly kingdom. We will not waste time to think that we would live forever on this earth. And the Lord is saying to us that our perspective must be changed. And when the Lord comes, well, there will be that we must fight the good fight of faith. We must be willing to suffer, to consecrate ourselves, to live the kind of life that God would want us to live. And so he says that if you have this mindset, then God would help you to say no to sin. And those who have that mindset, have that constant vigilance, that watchfulness, walking with that kind of a watchfulness. In other words, when you begin your day, you have a preparedness within you. You understood that you are in a warfare, and you understood that you don't want to cede to the enemy. You don't want to lose ground. You know that every time you cede, it is a loss on your part. And you realize that you cannot bear the losses anymore. Do you come to that stage of understanding in your life? That spiritually speaking, you don't want to be caught up and tempted and fall and become ineffective. When we were studying the history of Israel, we saw the failure of Israel. How did Israel fail? Israel failed from two things. Firstly, they compromised. They were not vigilant to keep themselves pure, to keep themselves separated, but they allowed sin to creep into their lives. Through mixed marriages, they allowed sin to continue. I remember the Amorites, the Canaanites, continue to live within their vicinity, so that when they were weak and the Canaanites were strong, they were in trouble. But God said to them when they entered the land, don't compromise with them. Wipe them out. And secondly, they were complacent. Remember when God brought them into the land, what did God said to them the land will be? The land that is filled with milk and honey. They are going to be so happy, enjoying the fruit of the land. But what happened when they were in the height of their prosperity? They let their guard down. They were no longer watchful. And as you study the life, the history of Israel, you would see a reflection upon our own life. That watchfulness, the guard is lowered when we have been enjoying many victories in our life. And we think that it is a given. And that's where Israel fall. And they fell so badly. Complacency. And so the Lord says to us that we are to come to this urgent, settled state of mind to know the time that we are living in, and to be able to overcome, say no to the cares of this world, the lust of the flesh, the deceitfulness of riches, which war against the soul. Remember, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." And so he tells us that it's important that your mind is spiritually alive and alert. Are you spiritually alive and alert? And then he tells us, in the next phrase, to watch. What do you mean to watch? The word there means to be sober, to abstain from wine, to be vigilant, to be not intoxicated. In other words, be not drunken, be not overcome, so that your senses will be weakened, so that your senses will be compromised. He says to us, and the two words there given in verse 7, sober and watch, are both in the imperative. Both are commands. And the way it is written is such that they have not started doing these actions. They have not been sober. They have not been watchful. And Peter is saying to them that the end of all things is at hand. And therefore, we are to be sober and we are to watch unto prayer. He's saying to us that we have to realize and understand the will of God for our lives. And we are to look to the hope of the coming of the Lord and have that strength to order our lives aright. If we know that Christ will return, He will take His church to glory, and at that time, He's going to issue His rewards to His servants, or the loss of reward. Then you know that, yeah, you are living your life with a goal, with a purpose, towards a goal. Do you have that kind of a mindset? God wants us to live, to have that kind of a mindset, that kind of understanding. And so Peter is encouraging the church to help them to see that as they go about living their lives, they live a life that is holy in the sight of God, with a mindset to suffer in the flesh, to say no to sin, to war against the flesh, to live a holy life. So verse 2 says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. So we live our lives according to what God would want us to live, saying no to sin. And he's telling us that the Christians that are scattered all over Asia Minor are doing that. Verse 4 says, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. He says that, you know, you have realized it, and that you are walking against the grind. You are fighting. But what he's saying to you is that this is a war that consists of a long drawn battle. Okay. And therefore, as a good soldier, you know you are not following them. You are not walking that way. You are seeking to, as it were, going against the grind of society. Ye run not with them with the same excess of riot. And they speak evil of you. They don't like you. And you have to learn to live in the midst of that kind of a hostility against you. And then he says in verse 5, because the time will come when we have to give an account, or God will judge. And there is a judgment that is coming. And so it's interesting that, you know, in times we said to ourselves that we can be sober, we can be watchful. And yet, there are some times when we let our guard down and we fail. But the Lord is saying to us, don't let your guard down. Build in your life enough checks, enough discipline, so that there will be that vigilance in your life, so that you don't suffer loss. Because you will be the loser for it. So he says that there is a judgment, and we sought to live a holy life, sought to go against the grind of society and be willing to walk the straight and narrow way and be willing to endure the hostilities of the people who would persecute us, knowing that a judgment is going to come. And there is a reward for the faithful. But for those who would perish, well, the Lord wants us to realize how frightening hell is. And sometimes we don't know the danger. Right? We don't have the heightened fear of God in our heart. Don't know the danger. It's as if, you know, a picture of a man who is being held, and below is a hell, burning fire. The hand will let go and it falls into it, and that's it. Burned, obliterated. Sometimes we don't know the precarious nature of our situation. And the Lord wants us to be very, very sober. And so he tells us that, yeah, as you walk against the grind of society, as you endure persecution, rejoicing in your heart, you know that there is a judgment at the end. You like to stand tall at the day of judgment. And so he says to us, for this cause, we preach the gospel. The time is at hand, and therefore, all the more, the gospel has to be preached. The message of salvation has to go out so that dead men can be made alive. And so, before he comes to tell us that the end of all things at hand, he tells us there is a work for you to do. There's a gospel work to do, and you are to do so according to God in the flesh. So that when the end would come, you would stand in good stead. God will say to Noah, it's time for you to board the ark. And he would hurry his family into the ark, bring the animals two by two in six into the ark. And the Lord would say, the time has come when the door would be shut. When will the time be when the door would be shut? When the door is shut, it will not be open again. The rain will come. The judgment will fall. But Noah will be saved inside the ark. Are you fully acquainted with the will of God? With what God is doing? Then may the Lord help us to be sober and to watch unto prayer. God is saying to us that don't depend on yourself to be able to live this life, but depend on God. Watch unto prayer. Let the power of God, let the strength of God sustain you. Remember last year in our church camp, we spoke about prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Commit your life to the Lord. Watch unto prayer. Seek the will of God in your life. Seek the will of God for your life. And how can we thrive in our prayer life when we realize that we have need? You know, the word for blessing in the Hebrew is the verb to kneel. When we kneel and when we pray and we seek God, when we seek the will of God, we seek the blessing of God, that's where our life will thrive. That's where our life will prosper. That's where our life will find strength. So, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. When we pray, we come into the presence of God, and His Spirit will help us to understand His will. And He would give us the strength to do His will so that we will not suffer loss, so that we will have victory. This text is precious because he tells us, it tells us, it reminds us how we must not be sleepy, not alert, because the enemy will come and we are going to suffer loss. And so, spiritually speaking, how are you faring? Are you winning the battle daily? Or are you winning only 50% of the time? I ask you as a in conclusion, to take time to consider your own life. If it's 50%, then pray that the Lord would help you to increase 60%, 70%, 80%, so that you realize that you don't want to suffer loss. And he wants you to be watchful, to be sober. And the only way is that you depend on God, your prayer life. May God grant us his grace so that we may be stewards that will receive the full reward when our Lord comes. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray and ask that thou be gracious to help thy people to bear with the trials, to endure the hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Lord, we pray that thou would help thy people to be sober, to watch unto prayer, and to knowing that the end is at hand. Lord, energize thy people to see that we may see thy will and that we may have the strength to do so. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.